Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck continues this week, and it's a program called Sister Act. My guest is Martha Walvoord. She'll be performing violin with her sister Jenny Walvoord, along with Amanda Dykhouse, Jack Unziger, and Drew Lee. Martha, thank you for chatting with me today about the program and maybe untying some family connections for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know you are sisters with Jenny Walvoord. Are you older or younger?
I am older than Jenny, but we're also sisters with Amanda. And so she's our oldest sister. We're one of four, and we have a brother in there too who will be at the concert but not performing. So there are three of us in one family.
So growing up in the Walvoord household, was everyone playing music from the get-go?
Everyone played. And it was never forced on us, but it was something that everyone did, and so we all wanted to do it. My older brother and sister both played violin and started very young with the Suzuki method, and my mother was going to start me on something else just to have some variety. And the story is, I don't even remember because I was so young, but my brother graduated to the next size up instrument, and I, as a left-handed child, took his into my bedroom and started to attempt to play backwards. And so there are great pictures of me standing alongside my older sister, Amanda, and she looks beautifully set up playing whatever song she was playing, and I'm holding the violin backwards. And so my mom says that she took pity on me and taught me how to hold it the right way, and as they say, the rest is history.
So you had to make an adjustment as a young person, but it feels natural to you now.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing it any other way, and with a very rare exception, you never see anyone play the violin the opposite way for several reasons, but it feels very natural to me now.
Now, you mentioned that you're a university professor. Jenny teaches at the college level. Is Amanda also a professional teacher?
Amanda, she has a very active studio of high school students. I've had her students come to study with me at the university. So she does have a very active private studio. But Amanda is also the concertmaster of the Holland Symphony Orchestra and the principal second violin of the West Michigan Symphony.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize all of you are musical leaders where you are. Could we go back a little bit to how you decided to pursue music professionally? I guess all three of you chose this path. What colleges did you end up at?
Well, I did my bachelor's at Rice University and my master's and my doctorate at the University of Michigan. And Amanda got her bachelor's in violin performance also at Rice University. And then for a while she still is. She's an ordained minister, but she went on to get a Masters of Divinity at Western Theological Seminary here in Holland, and is an ordained minister with the RCA. And I just think she always had that pull towards music, and so she's been able to find a wonderful balance with both passions. Jenny went to Hope College here in Holland, and then went from there to the University of Michigan, where she also got a master's degree and a doctorate. And she has a second master's, actually, in chamber music.
My goodness. Does this musical affinity go beyond this set of siblings back to parents or grandparents or great-grandparents? Can you trace it back any further?
Yes. My mother's mother was a professional soprano, and my dad's parents were not professional musicians, but both sang in church choirs and were very supportive of his endeavors as a piano and organ student through college. And so growing up, my dad was our accompanist. He would play with us. And my mother is a professional oboist, got a master's degree in oboe performance, and is now executive director of the Holland Symphony. Music has always been a part of every generation that I can remember.
I'm speaking with Martha Walford, who this week will join her sisters, Jenny Walford and Amanda Dykhouse, on stage at the Woman's Club of Saugatuck for a program called Sister Act. The program also includes, Martha, your husband's Jack Unsicker, a bassist, and Andrew Lee, who's a pianist, and Jenny Walford's husband, co-director of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. I know you've performed on these series before. Is this the first time that it's been all three of you and two husbands on the stage like this?
Yeah. This is the first opportunity we've had to all come together like this. And it sort of just has developed over the years where, as family, you want to play concerts together and play programs together. And in October, Jenny, Drew, and I went to Madrid. We were invited to play a recital at a university there. And so we did a couple of the pieces that we'll be playing this week in Madrid. And Jenny and I, in graduate school, commissioned one of the pieces that we're playing. And Jack and I have commissioned several pieces. So we thought it would just be very good fun to put it all together and put on a program as a family.
Why don't we take a look at this Sister Act program, and we can go through some of the things that are new and some of the things that maybe are just longtime favorites. I mean, the music of Henry Purcell is, I think, special to string players who love chamber music, because he wrote pieces for two, three, four strings at a time, the beautiful Pavan and Chaconne. I may have heard these before, right?
Yes, and you're absolutely right. That's a big reason that we chose this piece. We couldn't find one that was written for three violins, bass, and piano. So this was about as close as we could get to having all of us together, but it was a way for the three sisters to play a piece together. And it's just incredible music from the Baroque, and I think is a wonderful addition to the program because of the variety that it brings.
This is how you open the program, with the Pavan and Chaconne by Henry Purcell, who was sort of bridging the Renaissance too. So I love how sometimes there are really surprising cadences that show up in his music.
Yeah, his harmonic language and color are just, I think, really unique. And when you listen to a fair amount of his music, I think you can start to identify some of his chord progressions and an occasional note that may add a surprising dissonance here or there, and just makes for just a delightful piece.
Now, what can you tell me about Moritz Moszkowski and the Suite for Two Violins and Piano, Opus 71?
Well, Jenny, Drew, and Amanda are going to play the Moszkowski. And this is really our nod to Joan Conway, one of the founding directors of the festival. She's said before that this was one of her favorite pieces to play on the festival. And so when we were putting together repertoire that involved some combination of the five of us, this just leapt to the front, and just we knew we had to play this on the program.
Now, can we have a look at a piece by Andrea Clearfield, who's a composer I'm not familiar with, too, and it's nice to see a woman composer on the program.
Yes, Andrea is an active composer in the Philadelphia area, and has won numerous awards there and has been featured by many of the leading orchestras in the country. But her, Jack and I first got to know her music through a set of duos for oboe and double bass that we discovered and made our own arrangement so that we could, this was before we were commissioning a lot of works. We worked up that piece, and she actually found us because she'd found her name online, which is, I think, just one of the wonderful connection possibilities of 21st century technology. She must have done a Google search, and her name popped up on a program we were doing. And she wrote us and said, have you heard my violin arrangement of that? And we got to be friends and asked her when we were putting together our latest recording of violin and bass duos, if she'd consider writing us a piece. And so the piece came about. And it's four movements and all based on poetry and paintings that deal with trees and nature. And so she also just does a wonderful job with color and really experimenting in terms of color with what each instrument is capable of producing.
It's called A Dream of Trees. And I think what you were telling me is it's just for violin and bass, and it will be played by yourself and your husband, Jack Unziger.
Yes, that's correct.
This week at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, three siblings who grew up in a musical family and became professional-level players are featured in a program called Sister Act, along with Jack Unziger and Andrew Lee, who are spouses and professional musicians. This is the first time this has happened in the history of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, and the programs are at 7:30 on Thursday and Friday at the Woman's Club of Saugatuck. Details are at saugatuckmusic.org. Now, we've looked at the first few pieces on the program, and let's continue. The next piece is called Capriccio. It's by Friedrich Hermann, and I'm wondering if you know anything about that piece.
I first came across this piece when I was teaching at a festival in Costa Rica, and three very talented graduate students at the University of San Jose were performing this piece. And so I immediately thought of my sisters, and this was before the idea of this program had been developed. And I sent it to them and just said, I would love to play this piece someday. So this has been on the back burner a little bit, sort of simmering, waiting for the right opportunity. Charming showpiece, a slow introduction, and then a fast showpiece for three violins, and I think really does a nice job of showing off a lot of flash for the instrument.
So you've kind of been keeping a private list in your mental list on pieces that you three could play together someday.
Right.
And that someday is this week.
That's right.
That's followed by Fiddle States by Matthew Tomasini. And is that for three or two or one violins?
This one is for two violins. And Jenny and I actually commissioned this piece. Matthew was a colleague of ours at the University of Michigan. And he has since gone on to teach and run a chamber music program in Hong Kong and is now just accepted a position at the Lincoln Center Chamber Players in New York. So he's moving back to the States this summer. But it's a look at Appalachian fiddle music. So it borrows from the tunes and the tradition of Appalachia and the fiddle tradition they have there.
That's the second time you mentioned having been involved in commissioning new music. Could you tell us a little about your goals in that direction? How long have you made that a priority as for your performing life?
Well, I would say as long as I've been professionally working as a musician, I've been interested in commissioning new music. I think that it's important as a performer to be continuing the wonderful tradition of bringing new music to life, and bringing new life to old music too. I mean, I think you can't understand new music without understanding its historical context. But promoting composers, promoting new works, introducing audiences to new works of music, I think is really important as a player. I think just as, you know, we're all placeholders basically in the tradition of Western classical music. And so to keep it going, to keep it active and vibrant and alive, I think it's an important part of the process.
Well, I don't want to leave out the last couple pieces on this program, so let's get back to that, and maybe you can tell us about the elegy from Ransbaren's Cello Concerto Movement 2.
Yeah, it's Ransbaren, and he's a composer at the Juilliard School of Music and was there with Eugene Levinson, bassist, who was principal of the New York Phil for a very long time. He recently retired and taught at Juilliard and adapted the slow movement of the second cello concerto for double bass and piano. And it's just absolutely beautiful. Bassists are known to, Jack would say borrow, some would say steal music from other because they don't have quite as rich a library of solo repertoire. There's a long period of time where bass was not featured as a solo instrument, and that is definitely changing now. But this is one example of a transcription, so a piece that was written for another instrument that's borrowed by someone to play in a format that it wasn't originally written.
And it features solo lyric bass playing. That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Please tell me the five pieces by Shostakovich are for all five of you to play.
No, unfortunately, I wish they were. That's for two violins and piano. And Jenny and Drew and I will play that one. We did this also on our Spain trip. But it's, if you were to go to the concert and not have a program, you would probably be hard-pressed to pick the composer for this work, because it does not sound, in my opinion, like Shostakovich. It's collections of music from his film scores that were adapted for two violins and piano, and it sounds like a mixture between Brahms. If I had to guess a composer, I would say Brahms, but there's bits of Stravinsky in there, and it's just a humorous, funny piece. One of the movements was a cartoon that was quite a bit of a, it was from a cartoon that's a satire that made fun of the government at the time, which got Shostakovich into some trouble. These pieces just aren't done very often, but they're just absolutely lush and romantic and beautiful, and I hope the audience will really enjoy them.
It sounds like a terrific program. Purcell, Moskovsky, Clearfield, Herman, Tomasini, Ransbaren, and Shostakovich. And yeah. Martha, thank you for covering the whole thing with me and sharing some of the personal details that went into this concert, a series of concerts, actually, Thursday and Friday, 7:30. Break a leg. Have a great time.
Thank you so much. I will. Appreciate your time today.